When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we're watching the aftermath of the meeting of the new Prime Minister of Japan, Shigeru Ishiba, and the new President of the United States, Donald Trump. You will recall in the first Trump administration some years ago, I believe the first foreign leader the new president met at the time was the Prime Minister of Japan. So there's symmetry here. We welcome Steve Yates of the Heritage Foundation to help us understand both the White House statement about the remarks made by the two leaders and also the significance of this meeting given the disorder in East Asia. Steve, a very good evening to you. South Korea is not in a good place right now, and Japan, having made much advance in relationship to South Korea last year, especially when it declared joint defense of Taiwan if and when the attack comes, South Korea is now disordered. Japan is not, but I understand Mr. Ishiba is not as strong as previous prime ministers. What do you measure about the meeting between the two leaders on Friday that's significant? Good evening to you, Steve.
Oh, good evening, John. There are several layers to this that I think are of meaningful consequence. One is just sort of the optics and how it felt and came across. There are a lot of leaders around the world that were a little bit concerned about uncertainty about what to expect in their interactions with President Trump. For the leader of Japan, there was a blessing and a curse. President Trump had a very close personal relationship with the former prime minister, late Shinzo Abe. Those were very, very big shoes to fill, and probably shoes no one should try to fill. And so you have politics in Japan being divided and competitive. The prime minister's tenure is probably not infinite, might even be challenged later this year, but wanted to come in and have a substantive and positive relationship with the president. You have a new administration that is rebalancing a whole host of issues at once at a dizzying pace. And a lot of them are domestic with consequences for the world. And so I think there was also an interest on both sides to talk about the priority of the alliance, defense supply chains, technology supply chains, and of course, investment in the United States, a high, high priority for President Trump. Best I can tell from what they said in their joint remarks and a lot of commentary after the fact with people in the meetings, both sides felt like the meeting went extremely well, exceeding expectations in terms of the quality of the conversation. There were some significant statements that came out of it, including major investments that should be of meaningful consequence to America and the bilateral economic relationship. But I think one that perhaps will be of high priority to the audience is a slight fine-tuning in a positive direction about the commitment to countering not just the use of force, but also coercion with regard to Taiwan. Both the United States and Japan are committed to making sure that cross-strait issues get resolved peacefully and that they would counter these coercive measures. That is a theme we've talked about many times, and I think it was a signal of reassurance. So you're right that as Korea is going through its turmoil, that we do have, I think, a stronger than expected bilateral conversation with the leader of Japan, and I think it's a good down payment on the foundation of our Indo-Pacific strategy.
Gordon, I have a question for Steve.
Steve, we appear to be back to a era of revolving door Japanese prime ministers because Ishiba doesn't look very sturdy at by any means. But really, I think what the Trump administration, by agreeing to meet with a Japanese leader who may not be there in a few months, I think what was really going on was they are saying, we have a commitment to the government of Japan, regardless of who is the prime minister. And in Japan, the prime minister may not be as important as it is in other countries because of the strong bureaucracy. I mean, do you get a sense that that was what the Trump administration was doing? Because otherwise, normally you don't meet with a leader who's not going to be there in a few months, or at least there's a real possibility of a leader falling from power.
I agree completely. And I think it was a deliberate signal about the importance of the alliance, the importance of the relationship with the country and people of Japan. And I think it is basically a commitment for however our fellow democratic ally sorts out its internal electoral prospects, that the Trump administration, his new cabinet, Secretary Pete Hegseth of Defense, has given a very, very strong statement about commitment to alliance capabilities and going through auditing the Pentagon, not for isolationism, but for reordering monies to go to the right places, to cut waste so the United States is leaner, meaner, and he says more lethal in a way that would, I think, improve deterrence. So all of those things, I think, are considerations that are independent on who the leader of Japan is. But they did have some good, strong, positive rapport. The Japanese prime minister gave Trump kind of a samurai helmet that was pretty cool. And I think that was very, very well received. And he did, somewhat like Prime Minister Netanyahu, in basically praising the president for being a very strong friend to him and to his country, which I thought was just smart politics. And so you're absolutely right about the tenuous state of Prime Minister's hold on the office. But I think this should be seen as very, very reassuring to the Japanese public as they go through their period of turbulence. And that's just bad news for the authoritarians in Beijing who thought they have all these democracies teetering and divided.
The steel deals. There's a new tariff announced on steel imports of all steel and aluminum. But I'm pointing to the Nippon steel deal that was rejected by the Biden administration. And I believe Mr. Trump also endorsed not accepting the deal. But Mr. Trump has made remarks since then about Nippon Steel investing in U.S. steel. Is that a make-or-break issue back in Tokyo, Steve?
Well, it went over very, very badly in Tokyo when the proposed acquisition by Nippon Steel of U.S. steel was opposed, especially based on national security concerns. That was a chilling signal to a defense ally and one of the significant U.S. defense allies in the world, not just the Indo-Pacific. So this, I think, sort of proved a concept that people failed to really internalize during the Trump first term. This came up with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and other areas that President Trump is going to oppose frameworks that are negotiated by others. But if you allow for time and space, you just might find a deal maker who wants to do something that's still good. It's just slightly different than what was proposed, and you can get yourself to an acceptable win. I would like to believe this is what has happened with this steel acquisition. There's tariffs, as you mentioned, will go up on steel and aluminum, but this investment that will be a joint benefit to Nippon Steel, U.S. Steel, U.S. and Japan is kind of the way forward on these things. But frankly, the private sector in Taiwan and Korea should take note.
Gordon, you have a question.
Steve, John mentioned Taiwan in his opening comment. And in the communique after the Trump-Ishiba meeting, they mentioned Taiwan in a fairly forceful way. Could you comment on that? Because I think that probably is one of the more important things that was the outcome of that meeting between the Japanese and American leaders.
Well, I agree, Gordon. And basically, it was an extension of what U.S. and Japan leaders have said with regard to disputed islands and freedom of navigation on the high seas, things like that, maritime security. This time, it explicitly applied or extended the previous 2+2 secretaries of state and defense joint statements with Japanese allies to very clearly counter coercive and gray zone activities, as we call it, with regard to Taiwan. So I think this was an extension of our commitment to deterrence. And that, I thought, was basically a surprising step forward. There's a lot of narrative in the United States and internationally that there is an isolation 2.0 movement underway, that America is pulling back. This was quite the opposite signal. I think it was positive for the government of Japan to be very clear that peace and stability and Taiwan's, at least the de facto independence, is in Japan's national interest, not just America's.
Steve, quickly, 30 seconds. The Liberal Democratic Party, is it assured by this meeting, not just who the prime minister is, but the whole party? 30 seconds.
I do think this is seen as a net positive for the Liberal Democratic Party. I consider Japanese politics to be almost as complicated as Israeli politics. One can never be quite sure how these coalitions are going to hold together or fall apart. And I do think the upper house election is going to be a very big challenge in this summer for the Liberal Democratic Party. It's blessed in a way that its opposition is also divided and not really strongly holding together. And so I do think that this boost to Ishiba and looking good next to the new president of the United States is a net positive. We shall see how the months ahead move forward in Japanese politics.
Steve Yates, Heritage, Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.